Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
Can't be ashamed, I know, of a fool you see.
This opening number, Why Do Fools Fall in Love?, brought to us by Kenny Rankin, recommended by Vivian Boyd of California. Thank you, Vivian, for that recommendation. Hope you enjoy today's program. We'll be hearing more from and about Kenny Rankin later on in today's program, and he'll close it out as well. But first, these trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from ClassicBands.com. Question number one. During the early stages of their careers, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Hall & Oates, and Steve Martin were all opening acts for the same rock and roll nostalgic group. What was the name of that band? Hint, this group performed almost all of the tunes from the soundtrack Grease and recorded such songs as Witch Doctor and At the Hop. So, who are they? Question number two. Songwriter Tommy Durden showed his partner, May Axton, a newspaper story about a suicide victim who had left a one-line note that said, "I walk a lonely street." It took the pair only 22 minutes to write the song that became Elvis Presley's first million seller. What was the name of that song? Hint, here's a snippet from that song.
The bailoff's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never, never look back and think you're so lonely, think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely.
What's the name of this tune? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. In the transition section of today's program, Today in Music History, we see the following. It's brought to us by BGORecords.com and MusicOrb.com. And today is the weekend of September 23 and 24. Now, if you were born on September 23rd, you share a birthday with John Coltrane, the jazz saxophonist, Round Midnight. He was born on September 23rd, 1926. Ray Charles, September 23rd, 1930. Hit the road, Jack. And Benny King, he was born on September 23rd, 1938. Julio Iglesias, All the Girls I've Loved Before, born on September 23rd, 1943. Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, and he was born on September 23rd, 1949. Harry Connick Jr., born on September 23rd, 1967. And finally, Annie DeFranco, born on September 23rd, 1970. Or, if you were born on September 24th, you share a B-Day with Linda McCartney, Paul's wife. From Wings, born on September 24, 1941. Jerry Mardson and Jerry and the Pacemakers, born on September 24th, 1942. Miscellany in music history on these days, well, back in 1957, it was the Crickets. That'll be the day hitting number one on the charts. Back in 1964, this weekend, it was the Drifters Under the Boardwalk hitting the charts. And 1965, the Association Cherish hits number one. And in 1967, it's the Box Tops with The Letter at number one this weekend. Back in 1969, Paul McCartney rumored dead for the first time in an Illinois University newspaper under the headline Clues Hint at Beatle Death. Back in 1988 this weekend, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin becomes the first a cappella record to top the U.S. charts. And finally this weekend, back in 1988, the Hollies' He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother hits number one on the charts, setting a record for the longest period of time between number one hits, 25 years and 65 days.
But I'm strong.
The Hollies. In local rock news, we see this story entitled In a State of Moving Forward. It was published in the News and Observer back on the 2nd of September, 2011, by Adrian Johnson Martin. A cacophony of sound plays behind Ben Williams on a recent day. It's the sirens, the humanity, the manic energy of New York City. Yet Williams, talking by phone from Harlan, keeps the rhythm of the conversation going smoothly, sometimes pausing, but never losing the thread of his thoughts. But then that's characteristic of his jobs. Williams is a jazz bassist, and he'll tell you his ilk is born, not made. You have to be a certain kind of individual to appreciate the rhythm section, he said. We don't need the solos, the spotlight, not to pat us all on the back, but we're the most unselfish musicians in the world. It doesn't make sense, but we enjoy what we do. That sense of enjoyment has served Williams well. After working as a sideman for pianist Jackie Terrison and vibraphonist Stefan Harris, the 26-year-old Washington, D.C. native, has moved up front with his debut CD, State of the Art. He performed tunes from it back on September 4th at the African American Cultural Arts Festival here in Raleigh. The album's title comes from Williams' interpretation of where music is now. He presents a mix of the sounds he grew up with and admires, including hip-hop, R&B, and classical, through a jazz prism. Williams' arrangement of Stevie Wonder's Part-Time Lover turns it from 80s pop into 50s swing, and he reimagines the standard Moonlight in Vermont by adding electric bass. It's a collection that's modern, but the concept isn't new, Williams said. When John Coltrane did My Favorite Things, that was a pop song, he said. It's hard to pick out what exactly jazz tradition is. The tradition is to move it forward. Tradition is what you continue to do. It's alive. Williams claimed a piece of that tradition early. He encountered his first bass at 6, but picked it up more seriously in middle school. The school offered a string class, and Williams was set to learn the guitar. But when he got to the class, there weren't any. The bass looked cool, so we picked that instead. Love developed soon after. There was something about the sound and the way it felt, like another human being almost, he said. Holding it is like dancing with someone. Since then, Williams has won a slew of awards, culminating in a win at the prestigious 2009 Thelonious Monk International Jazz Competition, an anointing that's the equivalent of the Van Cliburn and Tchaikovsky competitions in classical music. He also has a bachelor's in music education from Michigan State University and a master's in music from the Juilliard School. B.H. Hudson, program and music director of WNCU, NC Central University's jazz station, has added Williams to the station's playlist. She calls Williams a young lion on the rise. He's very talented and well-versed in the vocabulary of jazz, she said. He's going to emerge with a special language all of his own. That's what makes him exciting. For now, Williams continues to work on building his own musical voice simply by soaking in all of New York City's vapors. Absolutely. It's the most inspiring place on the planet, he said. Some people say New York isn't what it used to be in terms of the number of clubs, but relative to any place in the world, there are tons. There's music everywhere. We push each other, elevate each other, Williams says of his musician friends. There's a lot of jazz musicians under 35 here, doing innovative things. They're not going for one sound. I'm as inspired by my peers as I am by my masters. And then there's this piece entitled Amazon, Apple, Wage the Lady Gaga Wars. This was published back on the 25th of May, 2011. Amazon wants a piece of Apple's commanding position in digital music, and it was using Lady Gaga's new hit album, Born This Way, to wage its war, the Wall Street Journal reported Wednesday. How both companies have approached Born This Way says a lot about how they are positioning themselves for the fast-changing media business. Market-trailing Amazon was using aggressive discounts, a 99-cent one-day sale, followed by a $6.99 everyday price, which was still below the album's wholesale cost of around $9. Apple, meanwhile, was milking the advantage it has in being the dominant player, with customers steeped in a music buy-in process where one part of the business feeds off the other. Its sleek music players, starting with the first iPod, led people to its iTunes store, where people became accustomed to buying music. The gadget software store model means many users treat iTunes as their default music retailer, while also reinforcing sales of the company's gadgets. Digital distribution executives at record companies said Amazon has never put much of a dent in iTunes market share, which was estimated to hover around 90%. And on Monday, the Lady Gaga album was selling briskly on the Apple site at full price, even as Amazon was offering it for 99 cents. Yet some believe that the Gaga promotion could bolster Amazon, at least temporarily. So what do you know about today's featured artist? Well, according to KennyRankin.com, this biography, we see the following. In a remarkable recording career that spans 3.5 decades, Kenny Rankin has established an impressive set of creative credentials as an insightful songwriter, a distinctive guitarist, and above all, a world-class singer possessing an uncanny ability to cut straight to a song's emotional heart. While his supple, pristine tenor has earned him status as a singer-singer, Rankin's songwriting talents have been widely recognized by his peers. For example, his In the Name of Love inspired a memorable version by Peggy Lee, while his Haven't We Met has been cut by a number of jazz and pop artists, including Carmen McRae and Mel Torme. Other Rankin compositions have been covered by a diverse assortment of artists. Growing up in the multicultural hotbed of New York's Washington Heights neighborhood, he absorbed a broad array of musical influences, from Afro-Cuban to Top 40, to jazz, to Brazilian. But he traces his emergence as a performer to a specific childhood epiphany. I was in the fourth grade and sang O Holy Night in a Christmas play, he recalls. My teacher, Miss Isabel Pringle, came over to me and patted me on the head and said, Kenneth, that was lovely. She set me on the path in music that I find myself on today. As a teenager, the budding artist signed with Decca Records and released a handful of singles. A few years later, he signed with Columbia Records and found himself playing guitar on Bob Dylan's landmark 1965 album, Bringing It All Back Home. Not long after, he performed on The Tonight Show, whose host, Johnny Carson, became such a fan that Kenny was ultimately invited to appear on the show more than 20 times. Carson even contributed liner notes to Rankin's 1967 debut LP, Mind Dusters, which introduced his much-covered pop standard, Peaceful. That album's mix of original tunes and outside material would continue to yield rewarding results on such subsequent releases as Family, Like a Seed, and Inside. Rankin's 1975 album, Silver Morning, featured a popular reworking of the Beatles' Blackbird that so impressed Paul McCartney that he asked Rankin to represent himself and John Lennon when they were inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1987. His much-acclaimed The Kenny Rankin album was recorded live in the studio in 1976 and teamed the singer with a 60-piece orchestra arranged and conducted by the legendary Don Costa to create what many now consider the first contemporary Torch album. Rankin and Costa continued their collaboration on 1980's After the Roses. Through much of the 1980s, Rankin largely concentrated on the live stage, increasingly emphasizing pop and jazz standards using jazz accompaniment. He ended a long break from recording in 1995 with a pair of albums, Professional Dreamer, a collection of standards, and the Brazilian-flavored Here in My Heart, both for the Private Music label. However one may attempt to pigeonhole Kenny Rankin as jazz vocalist, pop artist, or introspective singer-songwriter, the open-hearted emotional forthrightness of his singing renders such classifications irrelevant. My interpretation of the songs is purely emotional, he explains. We've all experienced disappointment and heartache, and that's what I draw upon. When I sing a song for you and Where Do You Start, or She Was Too Good to Me, I'm really hurting for the people in the song. I never change lyrics because when I select a song, it's usually because of how the lyric impacts me. I've been accused of straying from the melody, but when I sing, I'm feeling, not thinking. When I started, I was very young and felt like I was the center of the universe. But over the years, I've come to understand that it's not about me. It's about the work and about having the opportunity to do good work. If you do anything for any length of time, it's inevitable that you're going to have ups and downs. You make mistakes, but you learn from that. I just feel privileged that I've been allowed to continue in my craft, and I've been encouraged by all the positive feedback I've gotten from people over the years, he concludes. When someone tells you a song changed their life or inspired them to look at things in a slightly different way, well, you can't ask for a better reward than that. Miss Pringle would be proud.
I love my mind.
This follow-up article comes to us from Inquisitor.com, published on the 8th of June, 2009. Singer-songwriter Kenny Rankin, dead at 69. Perhaps not as well known as those he worked with, Rankin was nonetheless an influential figure in music, a guitarist, songwriter, and singer. Rankin worked early in his career with Bob Dylan until breaking out on his own through appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Rankin's albums covered a variety of influences from pop, jazz, and South American beats. Ironically, his biggest success came from covers. The article skips down and ends with this. After recording pop albums for many years, Rankin embraced his love of jazz in the 90s, a move that built him a strong following in the jazz community. Rankin is survived by his three children and a grandchild.
love walked right in and drove the shadows away. Love walked right in and brought my sunniest day.
And this final follow-up is brought to us by Alec Baldwin, who's writing in the HuffingtonPost.com back on the 12th of June, 2009, entitled In Memory of My Friend Kenny Rankin. Kenny Rankin died on June the 7th. He was 69 years old and died of lung cancer in Los Angeles, where he lived. I first started listening to Kenny's music when I was in college in 1976. His vocal range, from a falsetto to rich bluesy tenor, was very remarkable. I had the good luck to run into him at an L.A. airport a few years back and tell him how much his music meant to me. He offered to perform at any charitable event I might be affiliated with, schedule permitting. Last year, Kenny made good on that promise and did a show at the Stevens Talkhouse on Long Island to benefit the East Hampton Daycare Center. Kenny played the hell out of a guitar and put on a wonderful show for the relatively small crowd. He never mentioned that he was sick. Kenny Rankin, the self-described jazz singer, a great guitarist and vocalist, died last Sunday. Rest in peace, Kenny. This next article is a meta review of the new CD by They Might Be Giants entitled Join Us. This was published in The Week magazine on August the 12th, 2011. Fans of They Might Be Giants will be relieved to know that the duo has retained its appealing trademark humor, said Matt Deal in the Los Angeles Times. Better yet, Join Us is probably the alt-rock jester's strongest set since their 80s-era heyday. Lately, John Flansburgh and John Linnell have focused on creating children's albums, but while this may be their first offering for grown-ups since 2007, the distinction isn't always obvious, said Eric Vollmers in Calgary Alberta Herald. Only two of the 18 tracks here are more than 3 minutes long, suggesting that Flansburgh and Linnell don't have the patience to push their pop smarts past the joke rock stage. A few of the 18 short tracks come across as merely grating or goofy. Still, there's plenty to admire, especially when TMBG showcased their knack for melody in such folk pop gems as the REM-inspired Kanahorari and the Beatlesque Old Pine Box.
The handcuffs, but they won't lock. Electrical courses, but they won't shock. You pulled the fire alarm. You tried punching a cop. You're just too tired to stop. You old pine box. You old pine box. With your head full of rocks, sharp like a cracked flower pot.
This next article comes to us from the NC Museum of History Associates Newsletter, August 2011. Pine Cones Music of the Carolinas begins October 9th. Free Sunday concerts features blues, ballads, bluegrass, and folk. Local law firm Williams Mullen and the NC Museum of History Associates have joined forces to keep the Music of the Carolinas series active for another season. The season begins October 9 with Blind Boy Chocolate and the Milkshakes and their Jug Band Blues. All the Sunday afternoon shows begin at 3 p.m. in Daniels Auditorium at the Museum of History and are free. Thanks to funding from Williams Mullen and the Associates, along with the donations from individuals who attended last season's concerts and in-kind marketing sponsorship from WLHC and WLQC, the series has the funding to continue for the 2011-2012 season. Pinecone and the Museum of History will present 9 concerts that are free and open to the public. And following the inaugural October 9th concert, the schedule is as follows for the rest of this calendar year. November 13th, Sarah Gray and the Kieran Means, Scottish Ballads. And on December the 11th, Paul Brown with Tay5RRI Brown and John Schwab, Old Time String Band. And then there's this article by David Menconi, published in the News and Observer on the 10th of June, 2011, Rock Picks. You could say that Tom Maxwell has been to the depths of the underworld and back. Hell was the hit single he wrote for Squirrel Nut Zippers back in the 90s, and he went through an intense stretch of it in recent years, getting his son Easton through cancer treatments. But Easton has recovered, and Maxwell is returning to artistic pursuits, including penning a book about his experiences. See Kickstarter.com for the fundraising campaign. And he's releasing his first new album in many moons, Kingdom Come, a hyper-eclectic set that touches on everything from pure pop to country weepers, with cameos from members of The Old Ceremony and Lost in the Trees. Maxwell celebrates the album's release at 8 p.m. tonight at Motor Cove Music Hall in Durham. Once again, this was back on the 10th of June. Also on the bill are Justin and the Marionettes, ex-Carolina Chocolate Drop, Justin Robinson's group, and tickets were $8, and you could see a review of that on MotorComMusic.com. And finally, this review, published in Entertainment Weekly on 1st of July, 2011, Dolly Parton, Better Day Country. Parton is what that rare singer who can make optimism seem like a viable philosophy. When country music goes upbeat, it often traffics in cornball novelty tunes, but Dolly plays her album full of love and hope with straight-up sincerity. In the midst of hard economic times, the positive anthems that fill Better Day, all new material, no covers, comes off as brilliant strategy with some equally brilliant vocal performances. This is given an A- by Ken Tucker, and he says, download these, The Joyous Paean, In the Meantime, and the tuneful lullaby, Missing You. So how did you do on those trivia questions today? Well, answer number one, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Hall & Oates, and Steve Martin, each early in their careers, served as opening acts for the rock and roll nostalgia group called Sha-na-na. And answer number two, the title of the 1956 song that became Elvis's first million seller, which was based on the lines from a suicide note, is Heartbreak Hotel.
Lonesome Sue, she's in love with old Sam. Take him from the fire into the frying pan, on and on. He just keeps on trying.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. If you have a suggestion for an artist, group, or genre of music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 832-5138. So long until next time.
He just sits there trying, and it's my